Further, there was a lack of fossils connecting humans with apes. And this was important. The second was important, not just because it involved creationism, but mostly because it involved humans. And of course, as we mentioned before, there was nothing more important to creationists than humans were separately created. Indeed, by the late 1800s, there were many scientists and individuals who were accepting evolution for everything else, but denying the evolution of humans. And the lack or the missing links between humans and other animals was used as evidence that at least humans were separately created. To the extent that some scientists and many non-scientists continued to reject or limit the theory of evolution in the late 1800s, their opposition focused on the issue of human evolution. The absence of hominid fossils became a stumbling block to the popular acceptance of human evolution and a major issue. Now, Darwin and other evolutionists had never claimed that humans descended from apes. Rather, they believed that modern humans and modern apes had a common ancestor. This was a highly controversial claim that gained only grudging acceptance both inside the scientific community and among the general public. As if to emphasize the differences between humans and any other types of animals, including primates, in the early 1800s, Cuvier had placed humans and apes into distinct orders based on differences in their hand structure, which ties in with tool use. One thing special about humans is that they use tools. Therefore, you need a particular hand structure, the opposing thumbs, which primates don't have, and also the brain structure, brain size. So scientists like Cuvier would look to the large cranial capacity of humans and the hand structure and show humans were fundamentally different. And Cuvier used this to place humans and apes and other primates in wholly separate orders, not just different genuses and species, but wholly different orders. Huxley came back and said, no, humans belong in the same order with other primates. They're much closer related than earlier scientists had suggested. So Huxley went out and tried to look for something that would connect humans with other primates. The first thing he turned to was Neanderthal man, the Neanderthal skulls. Neanderthals had been discovered, fossil remains of Neanderthals had been discovered in the 1850s, first found in Germany and then in other parts of Europe. And Huxley initially suggested that this might possibly be an ape-like hominid, that is, something, a connecting link between apes and humans. And that appears in the early works of Huxley, shortly after Darwin's Origin of the Species. And this attempt broke down when the more they studied Neanderthal man, they realized that its cranial capacity, its brain size, was essentially the same as humans. So it could not be a connecting link. So we've got to do something to find a connecting link. And Neanderthal didn't do it. The thought was that if what makes humans distinctly different is their brain size, we've got to find fossil remains of something like a human, but with a smaller brain, smaller cranial capacity. We see the interest in this growing. We see Charles Lyell, the great geologist. He had earlier maintained, before the publication of Origin of Species, he had earlier maintained that the absence of ancient human fossils support man's recent creation. He at that time believed that all species were separately created, at different times through history, of course. In his 1863 book, coming out, notice, shortly after Origin of the Species, his book Antiquity of Man, Lyell, now becoming an evolutionist, repaints the picture of human history and draws on new archaeological evidence to greatly push back the supposed first appearance of humans. So we see in Huxley and Lyell, two Darwin confidants, the effort to change man's human history in a way to prepare the way for the acceptance of human evolution.